It's Saturday, the 14th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Jack Sigma. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Western Wolves. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just like Western Wolves, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for the day. If you want to be like Moneyball.com.au and be a sponsor for the podcast for extended periods of time, well, you know what to do with that as well. But I do encourage you all to check out Moneyball.com.au if you're in Australia or New Zealand. They are Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site, and get on there and enter all the contests, take me on in some head-to-heads. The Red Rock tournament is up as well, so make sure you're getting involved in all of those contests. My name, if I didn't mention it, is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. 11 games on Friday, 7 more on Saturday. As Michael Bolton would say,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night had a lot of choices here, but I had to go with Russell Westbrook. We knew that he was going to go pretty big without KD. He did. Overall, his efficiency wasn't great, shooting only 8 of 22 from the field, but 21 points, a couple of threes, a career-high 17 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals, no blocks for Russ, but still, just incredible numbers. The 6 turnovers aren't ideal. You knew you had to use him in daily fantasy. He put up some pretty good numbers. It probably wasn't as great as you were hoping. You would have been hoping for him to just go completely mental. Didn't quite do that, but still, the numbers are fantastic. He's a top 5 fantasy player for this season. He has now had 6 straight 20 and 10 games, which is a ludicrous streak. The last two of them have been triple doubles. He's just putting up, he's just fantastic. He is just that good a player at the moment. And me and Matt discussed this the other day, that there's a real discussion to be had that he is the better player on the Thunder over Kevin Durant. He's averaging almost a triple double: 25, 8.6, 10.9 assists, over 2 steals, almost 2 threes. Just putting up some crazy numbers. So Russell Westbrook is the monstrous line of the night for Friday. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Amir Johnson of the Boston Celtics. Amir Johnson played 36 minutes, 19 points. He hit a 3, had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 8 of 14 from the field. They're just fantastic numbers. The problem is Brad Stevens. Yes, I know he's a good coach. He's a frustrating fantasy coach, though. Yeah, Amir Johnson's averaging 23 minutes on the season. He's been getting less than 20 in so many games. He finally runs him out there big minutes, and he puts up huge numbers. Now, he can be a really serviceable fantasy guy if he's getting the minutes. The problem is that the minutes just aren't there for him enough. Yeah, 36 is great, but in the last game, he played 14, 23 the game before that, 18 the game before that, 21, 28, 19, 20. They're all over the place. No way you could have predicted he was going to play 36 minutes. There is no one in the world, unless you're just throwing darts at a dartboard and go, okay, someone's going to play minutes. Who's it going to be? We have no idea. So Amir Johnson has that low end 12 team league value, but there's just, the upside is just capped by the way that Stevens runs that rotation. And the way he runs that rotation is poorly, in my opinion. There's just no consistency. Johnson, Sullinger, Olynyk, the 3 best big men on this team, without doubt to me. Sullinger, Olynyk, obviously the 2 best upside guys, but just give them all 30 minutes and just do away with David Lee. Forget about Tyler Zeller. And Ernest Jerebko can get a few mop-up minutes, but these are the guys that should be getting the bulk of the minutes. Johnson, yeah, he does have that 12-team league value, even in 23 minutes a game, but I don't know. Yes, obviously there's some upside there for him, but how often is that going to happen? How often is he going to play 36 minutes? My guess would be not all that often. The young gun of the night for Friday goes to Zach LaVine of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ricky Rubio was a last-minute scratch after being probable for the last 2 games. He's been out with that hamstring, which is really frustrating. LaVine played 40 minutes, went 26, 6, and 4 with 4 threes and a steal. And I still maintain that he's not a great player, but he is able to put up, in general, pretty good fantasy stats. So whenever you know he's going to get a start, there's definite value for him. Obviously, against the Warriors, he got destroyed by Steph. But in a game like this against George Hill and the Pacers, he's in a better position to put up better numbers. So Zach LaVine, look, I don't imagine that Rubio is going to be out much longer at all, if at all. So Levine's going to go back to the waiver wire, but it's always something to keep an eye on, that when he gets a chance to play and play decent minutes, he's going to put up some pretty big numbers. The dud of the night, actually from the same game, we head to Levine's teammate, Kevin Martin, who played just 13 minutes. For what reason, I haven't been able to really ascertain. It was a back-to-back for the Timberwolves, but there's no real injury that we know of with Martin. He just got limited. And Sam Mitchell, he's getting close. He's not right there, but he's getting close to being the worst coach in the league behind Byron Scott and Derek Fisher. He's just a frustrating guy with the way he runs the rotations. But in terms of the way the Timberwolves play, it's definitely working out for them. Now, Martin played the 13 minutes, 2 points, one rebound, one assist. He missed all four of his shots. He's been putting up value even in a bench role where he has to be owned, basically. Look, the numbers he's putting up for the season, 15.4 points, a 3, and 86% on 6 attempts. The other numbers are pretty minimal, and you look at his ranking, it doesn't look that great, 186th. But to get those sort of points, the free throws, I think you have use for it. Now, it's probably not to be owned everywhere. Maybe I'll rephrase that. But there's definitely some value in him in terms of what he's able to do. The 27 minutes aren't exciting, but you really love that free throw percentage boost that he can give you. There aren't many players who might be available on a waiver wire, or who, you know, is the last guy on the bench who can actually influence that category the way that he does. So, yes, it was a bad night. Yes, it was frustrating. But I still think he has a pretty decent role on this team moving forward, and he has value in a lot of fantasy leagues. All right, let's move on to these games and talk about them in more detail. As you can see on the screen, if you are watching live, bring it up for you. We've got the box scores up on the screen. We're going to start talking about these games in a little bit more detail. The first game of the night is the Utah Jazz and the Orlando Magic. The Jazz were out of this game basically in the first 5 minutes. The Magic started off red hot, and the Jazz were without Rodney Hood, who has a sore foot. Let's hope it's not the same foot issue he had last season. Fingers crossed. And Rudy Gobert wasn't able to go with his ankle. So they're already down a couple of players. Didn't help that Derek Favors got into early foul trouble. He played just 19 minutes. He only ended up with the two fouls, but once he was out of the game just got out of hand. The Jazz on a back-to-back. The game was done. They didn't need to risk him, so don't be too worried there. 5-7 for Favors with 3 steals and a block. Jeff Withey played 24 minutes, 8-7 with a couple of blocks. There's not a lot to really get excited about by looking at this box score. Alec Burks got the start in place of Rodney Hood. He had 25 minutes for 11 points and not a lot else, with just really poor shooting. It was just a bad night for the Jazz in general, although Trey Burke did chime in with 16 points and 4 assists. And he's a guy that is scoring a lot. He's hitting some decent threes, and he's worth a look in leagues. He's not a must-own guy by any stretch, but there's some value in Trey Burke. On the Magic side of things, there was no Victor Oladipo. CJ Watson was also unable to go, so we thought initially maybe Shabazz Napier gets a big boost here like he did the day before. Didn't happen in this game. We heard talk of Scott Skiles saying that Mario Hezonja is going to play some backup point guard. Basically, Scott Skiles just talks a lot of rubbish. He played 9 minutes, Hezonja, for 6 points. It's impossible to own him in a standard league. Toby Harris went off, though. 40 minutes for him, 19-13, 3 threes, 3 steals, a block. He's obviously has to be owned everywhere. His value is going to fluctuate, depending on what Skiles wants to do on a night-to-night basis. Evan Fournier, another 37 minutes for him, 21-5-2 with 2 threes. He is scoring at a ridiculous rate. He is a must-own player, and maybe my 2 years of campaigning for Evan Fournier to get big minutes are finally coming to fruition. Let's hope that's what the case is, because he's looking really good. He's obviously must-own as well. Nick Vucevic, back in the starting lineup, went 16-9-5 with a steal and a block. A good night from him. And we saw a really good night from Aaron Gordon, playing 27 off the bench, 10-5. But what you really like is 1 steal and 4 blocks. Still not really that keen in owning him in standard leagues. If you want to take a flyer on it, yeah, by all means. But he could go out there and play 15 minutes in the next game as Scott Skiles goes, nah, so sorry, mate, you're not getting the big run. Alfred Payton, Lord Alfred Payton, 37 minutes for him, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and a couple of steals. He hit 2 threes as well, so that's an added bonus, and went 8 of 10 from the line. And his free throw percentage is really good this season, so maybe he's not a punt free throw guy. Maybe he's worked on that. He definitely improved over the second half of last season, and he's looking a lot better this season, which is obviously great. Dwayne Dedmon back to the bench, and he can be dropped in any league outside of really deep leagues, because he did still add 3 blocks in his 16 minutes of court time. The next game up is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers. Karl Anthony Towns, only 27 minutes for him, 12-9. Still a pretty decent night for him. With Rubio out, Andre Miller played 23 minutes and went 10-4-5. We don't really need to worry too much about Andre Miller. And another 26 points for Andrew Wiggins in his 42 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica played 25. Again, still getting the bulk of the power forward minutes. He actually played some center as well in this game. Not a great line. 10-2-1 with a steal and a couple of threes. That's not a great performance. And I'm still maintaining, I think I've mentioned somewhere today in the Basketball Monster comment section that Bjelica has a usage rate of 11. That was before this game. His three-point shooting is bound to come down. He's averaging less than a steal and a block per 36 as well. So, yes, he's providing low-end standard league value, but to me, it feels like it could drop off. If that three-point shooting starts to fade a little bit, where's his value come from? He only had 2 rebounds in this one. Wasn't the greatest night, but you probably have to own him, but he's not someone I'm just holding on to for dear life. Neither is Gorgui Dieng. He played 11 minutes. He is just slipping completely out of Sam Mitchell's rotation. 7 rebounds for Dieng in 11 minutes. His per 36 upside is enormous. But if you're not getting the minutes, the upside doesn't translate to anything. So he's going to need an injury to Towns for him to really do anything. Tayshaun Prince continues to get 20 minutes a game. And mainly because I read this stat somewhere that the top, I think 3 of the top 5 three-man defensive combinations in the NBA have got Tayshaun Prince in them. He's providing a lot defensively, absolutely zero offensively, but he's providing a role, and he's going to continue to get minutes if that's the case. For the Pacers, Paul George, 29-9-4 with 4 threes. Not much to talk about there. And Monte Ellis, after a rocky start, is sort of starting to get back into the groove. 24-3-5 with a couple of steals for Monte. Jan Mahinmi played 31 minutes. He took up a lot of Miles Turner's minutes, with Turner sitting out with that fractured hand. 12-9 for Mahinmi. And Jordan Hill, LaVoy Allen got a lot of minutes too, 28, 6-6. We're not adding Jordan Hill. We're not adding LaVoy Allen. No one really benefits enough in a standard league format. In a deeper league situation, you're probably looking for LaVoy Allen, considering he got 12 more minutes than what Jordan Hill did. But overall, there's nothing too exciting there. CJ Miles was limited to 21 minutes because he knocked heads with Hezonja. And that he had to go and undergo the concussion protocol. He passed and he was able to come back in. But that's why his minutes were a bit limited in this game. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Toronto Raptors is the next game up. Eric Gordon continues his fantastic run. 30 points, 4 threes, 3 rebounds in 36 minutes. Hopefully he just doesn't get injured. He's putting up some really big numbers. Jrue Holiday at 19 points in 21 minutes with a couple of steals. He's giving you good numbers when he plays. Obviously that's a concern for him. Omer Asik, 24 minutes, 7 rebounds and 2 blocks. Please don't get excited about Omer Asik. And Ryan Anderson had a stinker. 5 points, 2 of 9 shooting for 6 rebounds, and he still remains an end-of-the-bench option for me. With Jrue Holiday in, Ish Smith struggled, 6-4-4, a couple of blocks, which he's just getting blocks. Him and TJ McConnell are getting blocks, and I just don't expect it. I'll still reiterate it, the long-term value for these guys isn't really there. That's Smith and McConnell. The Pelicans made a change and put Alonzo G into the starting lineup ahead of Luke Babbitt. G played 25 minutes and didn't score, so you don't have to worry about him in any sort of situation. Kyle Lowry for the Raptors, 26-5, 4 steals and a block, 4 threes, continues at a great pace. And DeMar DeRozan, 11 assists. Guess you didn't see that one coming. 15 points, 6 rebounds. His peripheral numbers have been a lot better in a few games this season. He's really started to provide a little bit more value than just scoring and free throws, which is great. Jonas Valanciunas at 20-10 night, 2 blocks, super efficient. You know I'm a big Jonas Valanciunas fan, and the big minutes were there again for Corey Joseph. 29, didn't do a huge amount with it. It was a triple one, but 9 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists, and he's still got that back-end 12-team league value, although with Damari Carroll returning to the lineup, and Joseph's usage and importance drops down a notch. He's still going to get the minutes because Terrence Ross is out, but he might not be as focal a point as what he was the previous couple of games. As I said, Carroll returned, played 33 minutes, went 11-5 with a triple one. If he's sitting on your waiver wire, you need to go and add him. He was dropped in way too many leagues because the number of leagues he should have been dropped in was 0, and that wasn't the case. Atlanta and Boston, Al Horford continues to do pretty much it all. 13-6-8, a steal, 2 blocks, a 3. Great night from him. Paul Millsap, not his best performance, 14-8 with a 3, but still pretty serviceable. And Jeff Teague suffered an ankle injury. He played only 25 minutes. He said his ankle is really sore. There's a massive chance he doesn't play on Saturday, which we'll talk about in the Daily Fantasy section later. 6-4-3 for him. But if you're looking for someone to sub in on Saturday, obviously Dennis Schroeder is going to be the guy. He played 24 minutes here and went 10-2-7. And you'd have to think that he'd get 30-plus if Teague happens to be out, which is what we're expecting at this point. Kyle Korver hit three threes for 11 points, but not much else. And a bit of an offensive explosion from Thabo Sefolosha, 10 points in his 21 minutes. The Kent Bazemore explosion hype train slowed down slightly. Again, 28 minutes for Bazemore, 12 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. This is getting closer to the player that Bazemore actually is. You're still holding him, but by the time the calendar clicks to December, I wouldn't be shocked if by then he's not a standard league relevant player. He's just not. I'm not convinced that he's a good player. Sorry to everyone who loves Kent Bazemore. Isaiah Thomas remained in the starting lineup for the Celtics, even though Marcus Smart joined him. He played 34 minutes and went 23-5-10 with 4 threes. And Jay Crowder, another 4 steals to add to his league-leading total. 13-8 for Crowder in 38 minutes. Jared Sullinger, 24 minutes, another double-double, a steal and a block. He's definitely a guy that you want to own, but obviously the way Brad Stevens treats these guys, anything could happen at any stage. But he's played well enough, you'd think, to get those mid-20s in minutes. And a nice performance from Kelly Olynyk in 17 minutes. 15 points with 3 threes and a couple of blocks. I just want him to get consistent 20-plus minutes. That's all I ask for. It's not too much, is it? Evan Turner went back to the bench, 5-5-4. And if you picked him up, you can probably drop him now. While Marcus Smart played 30 minutes and went 5-3-3. Still maintain that you probably want to own Smart in 12-team leagues, but I can completely understand if you have to drop him because he hasn't been great. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. LeBron, 31 points, 6 assists, a nice overall line. Mo Williams, another good one, 20-3. And Kevin Love struggled, just 2 of 10 shooting for 7 points. Still grabbed you 11 boards, but not the best night for Kevin Love. We saw Timofey Mozgov finally play more minutes than Tristan Thompson. 27 for Mozgov and 11-7, which is a pretty decent night. And if he gets big minutes, he is a decent fantasy producer. The problem is the way that their rotation's been run. Thompson had 10 rebounds in his 21 minutes, and he's really only a valuable guy for rebounding. J.R. Smith continues to suck. 27 minutes for Smith, 8 points, a couple of threes. Yes, he can get hot, but if you want to move on, there's no argument from me. I can understand that. On the Knicks side of things, Carmelo Anthony, 26 points, 5-4. Pretty good night. Jose Calderon, 22 minutes, 10-2-2 with 3 steals and 2 threes. He's actually creeping into someone you want to look at owning. And Aaron Aflalo went 14-3-4 in his 30 minutes. That's 2 games for Aflalo, close to 30 in both games. I understand if you want to add him. I'm just not a massive fan of him. The 4 assists are nice. He had nothing defensively, and normally you don't get anything in those categories. So you can go and add him, but he's not really a very exciting player. Kristaps Porzingis, 11-7 in 28 minutes. Not a bad performance from him. It's good to see Langston Galloway's minutes get back up there. He played 29. He went 7-6. Probably hard to own him in a 12-team league just with a bit of variability with what Derek Fisher's doing. But you have to like what he's done so far. So I can understand holding on for a week and seeing what goes on. Robin Lopez, 25 minutes, 4-5. And Kylo Quinn was reduced to 3 minutes because Lou Amundsen had to play 20 minutes. For what reason, I've got no idea. But Amundsen playing more minutes than O'Quinn. So obviously O'Quinn is out of consideration for 12-team leagues. And Jerian Grant probably can be dropped in those as well. 6-4 for him in 15 minutes. The Charlotte Hornets and the Chicago Bulls up next. Nick Batum continues to have a renaissance season. 28-8, 2 assists, 2 steals, 5 threes. Really good shooting. I was massive on the Batum bandwagon in preseason. He's done nothing to dissuade me from that love. Putting up some really big numbers. Kemba Walker, 13-9-7 with 3 steals and 2 blocks, and obliterating your field goal percentage as well. And Marvin Williams got back to his earlier season form, going 14-5 with 3 threes, a steal, and a block. Jeremy Lamb played 32 minutes, and that's probably the key thing there, is he played 32 minutes. PJ Harrison played 15, and Jeremy Lin played 17. Lamb went 15-9 with a couple of threes. I still don't feel his upside is that great, but if you want to add him, he's definitely returning 12-team league value at the moment. But this is... Yeah, the good thing is here that he did it on a 36% shooting night, which the other nights he'd been shooting 55, 60%, 80%, 90% stuff that's unsustainable. So he did it in a more typical manner here, but does he continue to get 32 minutes? I'm not so sure. He's definitely got talent and he's worth a look, but I don't love the long-term value for him. On the Bulls, Nikola Mirotic really struggled. 23 minutes for Mirotic, 3 points, missed all of his field goal attempts. 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Not a great night. Please don't drop Nikola Mirotic, though. And Joakim Noah, one of the weirdest stat lines of the season. 3 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and a block. He's in that 23-minute bench role. He's going to get some rebounds, some out-of-position assists. But I'm not all that keen on adding him. It depends what your team's looking for, really. But he's going to hurt in points. He's going to hurt in both percentages. You're going to be a rebound and an assist sort of guy. And that can be useful, but it's not useful everywhere. Pau Gasol went 19-13 with a couple of blocks, and Jimmy Butler went 27-5-4. Derrick Rose, just poor shooting from Rose again, 10 points. Nice to get the 8 assists, and his assists have definitely improved this season. Doug McDermott only played 16 minutes in this one, with Tony Snell getting 17, so that's a little bit disappointing. And Etuan Moore playing 23, which is mightily disappointing. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Oklahoma City Thunder up next. Christian Wood, big performance from him. 19 minutes off the bench with Rashawn Holmes out. 15-8 for Wood with 2 blocks and a steal. He hit a 3 as well. He's worth monitoring in deeper formats while Holmes is out over the next week, but nothing more than that. Nerlens Noel returned to action 13-11 with a couple of steals. Nick Stauskas, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a couple of steals as well. And TJ McConnell, 10-4-3, so not the greatest night from McConnell. And not a lot to talk about for, actually, you know what, let's talk about Jahlil Okafor. He played 30 minutes, and he went 3 of 18 from the field for 6 points. He had 6 rebounds and 3 blocks, so just a real weird night for Okafor, considering how well he had been playing. Obviously, you can't do anything with Okafor, you just hold on and hope that things get better in the next game. For the Thunder, Serge Ibaka, 11-7 with 7 blocks, filled the stat sheet. A good night from him, and Anthony Morrow got the start in place of Kevin Durant. He played 21 minutes, hit a couple of threes, and got 12 points, and that's what he's going to do. He'll hit you some threes, and that's pretty much it. 3 blocks for Steven Adams in 26 minutes. We heard Billy Donovan talk before the game that Enes Kanter was going to get a bump in minutes. Apparently that wasn't true, because he played 19 minutes and went 13-8, so still put up those big numbers. And if for some reason he got 30 minutes with KD's, when KD's out, he's going to go and really push 20-10. He did that last year when it was him and Westbrook running the show. But for some reason, the only 19 minutes for Kanter, even after Donovan said he was going to go out and play big minutes. Kyle Singler got 15 minutes. DJ Augustine got 23. Nothing much to see with either of those guys. Next up, we have the Portland Trailblazers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Out of nowhere, Chris Kaman gets the start in place of Myers Leonard with that shoulder problem. He played 24 minutes, 8-4-3. Many of you would be shocked to know that Chris Kaman was still alive, let alone in the league. But here he was, getting 24 minutes, putting up some pretty good numbers. Don't get too excited there. That means that, you know, us getting excited about Ed Davis maybe taking a bigger role. He played 18 minutes. Alan Crabb played 18 minutes. And Mo Harkless played 22 minutes. Gerald Henderson played 13. Noah Vonleh played 7. Basically, Kaman took all of Myers Leonard's minutes. If I'm looking at someone there, it's probably Harkless. But still, no one screams out as a must-own player. CJ McCollum had 26-6 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. And Damian Lillard struggled a bit. He had that issue with his thumbnail being ripped off. 11 points for him, 7 assists and 2 steals and no 3. So not a good night from Lillard. But it was a good night from Al-Farouq Aminu, who went 16-8 with 2 threes, a steal and 3 blocks. It's good to get those block numbers back, because they've been a little bit down this season. Marc Gasol is just tearing it up at the moment. After a really slow start, 31-4-5 for Gasol with a 3, putting up some huge, huge numbers. And Mario Chalmers got 20 minutes in his first game for the Grizzlies, 11 points, 2 assists, and 4 steals. He's definitely only a deeper league guy, but he was slotting into that role, and the steals were nice, definitely. Jeff Green was the pick of the wing guys here, 30 minutes. That reduced Matt Barnes down to 18, Courtney Lee to 26, and Tony Allen to 25. They're just all too unreliable, these players, to have any sort of, definitely not 10-team league value anyway. Mike Conley, 10 points, 9 assists. He's struggling at the moment, no doubt. If you own him, though, you can't do much. And if you don't own him, you can try and buy really low on him. But I don't really think that many people will budge. Well, I hope they don't anyway. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks. Kobe returned straight back into the starting lineup. That pushed Metawell Peace to the bench, but he still got 18 minutes. He missed every shot he took, and that was 9. For a start off, the fact that he took 9 was just ridiculous in itself, and then he missed them all. Why is he playing? I've got no idea. Roy Hibbert blocked another 2 shots, hit all 6 of his free throws, 9 rebounds. He's putting up solid numbers if that's what you want him to do. And it was a good night from Jordan Clarkson as well, 21-4 with 3 steals and 3 threes. And I'll reiterate what I said, I think, yesterday. If Jordan Clarkson is somehow on your waiver wire, you need to make sure he's owned. Yes, he's not going to be a top 50 guy, but he should clearly be that top 110, top 100 sort of player. D'Angelo Russell still can't get minutes, 24 minutes for him, 9-6-5 with a couple of threes. So it's not a terrible line. You just need him to get 30 minutes a night. But unfortunately, Byron Scott doesn't think that's in the best interests of the team. Yeah, and I know you can't see my face, but I'm rolling my eyes pretty aggressively. Julius Randle, 30 minutes, 6-10, steal and a block, 2-9 shooting. This is the trials of owning basically a rookie. You're going to have some pretty bad nights, and this was not a great night from Randle. He's still happy with a steal, block, and 10 rebounds, but the low scoring, the bad field goal percentage, that's just going to be something that happens. For the Mavericks, Dwight Powell, this guy's really good. I'm really excited about Dwight Powell. 22 minutes for him, 10-12. He's obviously a guy, he's got some 12-team league value, but anyone deeper, he's a must-own player. And Zaza Pachulia, 18-16 with 2 assists. I've been banging the Pachulia drum for most of the season. He has to be owned in 12-team leagues. I know that there's probably not about 3 other guys who are less sexy than Zaza in the league, but he's just doing it on a consistent basis. He's getting a stack of rebounds. You have to own him. Chandler Parsons played 18 minutes, a bit of an improvement for him, 9-3. He says, you know, hopefully in the next week or so, he starts ramping it up a little bit more. Let's see exactly how that plays out. 13-7 for Darren Williams with 3 steals. And Ray Felton played 23 minutes, 6-3 with 2 steals as well. Not a bad night from who was it? Ray Felton. That's who I'm talking about. Dirk had a bad shooting night, 4 of 13 for 9 points. But I think we can forgive him given how super efficient he's been so far this season. The Houston Rockets and the Denver Nuggets, well, after last game when we said, yeah, we know what Houston's going to do. They're going to run Marcus Thornton small ball. He played 35 minutes even with Terrence Jones back in. Well, no, not the case. Marcus Thornton to the bench in this game. But wasn't it at the expense of Terrence Jones? It was at the expense of Montrezl Harrell. So Thornton played 18 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Obviously, if you've been owning him and riding him, it's been looking pretty good. Let's see what happens over the next game or two, but this is clearly not a good sign, especially with Terrence Jones looking awesome as well. 23-7 for Jones in 21 minutes, 3 threes and 4 blocks. It goes without saying that if he's on your waiver wire, you need to own him. James Harden, 28-8-5, 3 steals and 2 blocks. A typically good night from him. And Dwight Howard, 12-10 with a steal and a block. I pontificated yesterday that I thought Howard might sit out this game and play in Saturday's game. Obviously, the other way around, he played against Denver. He's going to sit out against Dallas. Clint Capella should be the main beneficiary of that. Ty Lawson continues to be really bad. 0-7 for Lawson in a homecoming to Denver. 7 assists, but he is just really... He's had a couple of good games, but he is just really struggling. Patrick Beverley went down in this one with an ankle sprain as well, so Jason Terry looks to absorb most of his minutes. Danilo Gallinari was red hot, going 7-9 from the field and 10-10 from the line. 27 points, 3 threes. Pretty nice night there. And Will Barton, my boy, Will Barton. 31 minutes for him, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 threes. The way that Denver's using him, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. He played 15 or 16 minutes yesterday, 31 today. Who knows exactly how it's going to work out with Will Barton. He's returning that 12-team league value at the moment, but he's on pretty shaky ground, in my opinion. Kenneth Fareed, 14-11. JJ Hickson got another start, 10-6, and it's a crime that he is still playing. And Gary Harris, the ceremonial start for Gary Harris, 11 minutes, 3 points, 4 rebounds. He's not a standard league guy anyway. Emmanuel Mudiay had a disgusting-looking box score, 1 of 10 shooting for 2 points, but 11 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks is pretty handy on that side of things. And then you get to the other side of it and look down there and see 9 turnovers. That is clearly not an ideal line for Mudiay, but this is what we knew he was going to be. Just really bad shooting and really bad turnovers, and just absorb it with the other numbers that he's going to give you. And that's exactly what's happening with him at the moment. The last game of the night, the Brooklyn Nets and the Sacramento Kings. Jarrett Jack is not owned in every league, and he should be. I know he's not a good player, but 21-12 for him in 33 minutes. He is the unchallenged point guard on this team. A nice night from Thad Young, 16-9, and Brook Lopez went 17-10 with 4 blocks. But I think the big story from the Nets to me is the play of Bojan Bogdanovic. Another big game for him off the bench, 15 points with a 3 in 34 minutes. That's 2 big games in a row. He should be getting the bulk of these minutes at the small forward position. So in a 14-team league, yes, there's value there. And 12-team leagues will want to start paying attention if he's going to continue to get 30-plus minutes at the expense of a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's got 0 offensive game at all. onto the Kings, DeMarcus Cousins. He was very stiff not to get the monstrous line of the night. 40-13 with two more three-pointers. He had a block. He went 13 of 27 from the field. He went 12 of 13 from the free throw line and only one turnover. Just a huge night from Boogie. Rajon Rondo, he just said, well, you know what, I'll just give you another triple-double. That's three out of the last four for Rondo. He played 44 minutes, 23, 10, and 4, 14. He had two threes. He had two steals. Just huge, huge numbers for Rondo. Darren Collison should be back soon, and it's going to eat into Rondo. So if you're looking to sell high, now is the time to do it. But he's just been on a massive roll. Marco Bellinelli went 14, 2, and 4 with two steals. A nice night for him. And, of course, with Rudy Gay out in the hospital, of course, you'd think that they'd go with Omri Kasperi. No, instead you'd go with a guy that hasn't played and is 55 years old, and that's Caron Butler. He played 19 minutes, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Why you wouldn't give Kasperi 32 minutes, I don't understand it. He's been really good this season. And then the fact that you're starting James Anderson and playing him 6 minutes is still baffling to me. Willie Cauley-Stein played 18 minutes, 1 point, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. Cauley-Stein did not take a shot. He had the two free throws, and that's it. Hit one of them. Did not take a shot otherwise. So Cauley-Stein, you know my take on him. Yes, there's some steal and block numbers that are nice, but overall, the role is just not there for me to enjoy. Ben McLemore got it going. He had 25 minutes for him, 15 points, 3 threes, 3 assists. Look, if that continues, that's a nice trend, and we can look at re-owning him, but no, we just haven't seen enough of it this season to really get too invested in Ben McLemore. All right, that's it for the games from Friday. Time for a quick break, and then I'll be back to talk about the games for Saturday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Alright, so we're back now. With the games for Saturday, we'll start with an early game. So just remember, this is an early game, so it might not be included in all tournaments on daily fantasy sites, and that is the Detroit Pistons and the Los Angeles Clippers. So it is that early game. It's on at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, which is 7:30 a.m. here in Australia. I know that the big money ball tournament of the day does not include this game, so just check your daily fantasy provider before looking to see whether this game is included. Chris Paul is doubtful, so it's unlikely that he plays, and DeAndre Jordan's dealing with a sore shoulder, but he is likely to go. So without Chris Paul in the lineup, Austin Rivers should get another dose of big minutes. Pablo Prigioni might get the start, but without Redick and Chris Paul, you're going to see more minutes for Jamal Crawford and for Rivers. And they're guys who you can target. Rivers is priced at only $3,800. So I think that he's going to have some pretty decent value. And Crawford at 44 is someone to look at too. Blake Griffin, without Chris Paul, he's going to handle the ball a lot more. We saw what he can do in that sort of situation in the playoffs last year. Yes, he's at $9,700. And yes, he only put up 22 in the last game, but that was because he got ejected. So look for him to put up a really big game. So I like him as a high-priced option. For the Pistons, there's a couple of guys to have a look at here. They're small forwards, Stanley Johnson and Marcus Morris. I think they're some decent value. Johnson's been trending up in his minutes. He played 27 in the last game. He's averaging 23 over his last five. He's priced at 4,000. The Clippers do yield points to small forwards, so both of these guys are in contention to be used in your daily lineups. Andre Drummond at 9,700. We know how well he's been playing. Against DeAndre Jordan, this could be an interesting free throw battle, but he's a pretty solid play at 9,700. Other guys like Reggie Jackson, 8,000, probably feels a little bit too expensive, although he's not going to be going up against Chris Paul, so that might work in his favor. But Pablo Prigioni's a pretty decent defender who can force turnovers, so that might be a concern with Reggie Jackson. The next game up, Orlando and Washington. There is no spread for this game yet because there's a couple of things. We don't know if Victor Oladipo is playing. Seems unlikely. We don't know if Bradley Beal is playing as well. He's questionable with that sore shoulder. And Jason Smith and CJ Watson are also questionable. They don't have a massive impact on the game though. Evan Fournier at 5,600. He feels like a no-brainer to use at that price. He's been putting up, you know, huge, huge minutes. And at 5,600 against the Wizards, I really like him in that situation. I think Chris Humphries is interesting at 4,000. Maybe in a tournament, maybe he goes out there and drops 22 or 23. And I guess, especially against an Orlando team who does like generally yield points to power forwards, he could be in for a bit of an improved outlook. John Wall at 9,200, one of the best spots to play Wall. His price has come down, and Orlando does allow. He was really good against Orlando the first time round. He's Orlando allows some point guards to rack up points as well, so he's worth a look. If Oladipo is out, as we expect, Lord Alfred Payton at 6,500. He was pretty good today. He's a decent guy to have a look at. And Nick Vucevic at 7,700, just sort of getting back into the swing of things, had a pretty decent outing in the last game. He's not a bad guy to have a look at here. Bradley Beal would be avoiding. Toby Harris is worth a look. He's put up some pretty big numbers of late. At 6,500, there's a little bit of a risk with what Skiles is going to do, but if Oladipo's out, you'd have to think that he's going to get at least 30 to 35 minutes, and that definitely makes him worth a play there. Gortat and Porter, not great guys to look at, and Aaron Gordon is a pretty decent guy for a tournament anyway. 3,800 for Aaron Gordon, that's a fairly low price considering he dropped 30 in Friday's game. The Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets are up next. No spread in this one. I guess because they're waiting to see is Chandler Parsons going to play. We already know that Dwight Howard is out and Patrick Beverley is likely to be out as well. So without Parsons, Ray Felton is a good tournament play at 3,500. And yes, he's not a great option in general, but if he's going to get 30 minutes, which is or close to 30 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, there's a chance that he can put up decent return at 3,500. Clint Capella is the other one at 46. He's going to be replacing Dwight Howard. There should be some decent value there for him, as well as Terrence Jones at 5,400, who was really, really good today. Look, he might move. Look, they might play some small ball and go Terrence Jones at center as well. So that means we don't completely write Marcus Thornton off, but it's really hard to use him in a daily lineup. Maybe in a tournament at 4,800 you can if they run that small lineup, but we just don't know what they're going to do at this point. Zaza Pachulia at 5,500 has been really consistent. He's averaging over the last five games 30.5 points, and that's enough at 5,500 for me to take a look. Trevor Ariza at 57 is solid, and a good high-priced option is James Harden at 10,000. Dwight Powell at 4,500, you're not a bad guy to look at, especially with an undermanned Houston front line. You just want him to be getting more minutes, though. That's the thing. He could get 18 minutes. He could get 27 minutes. We don't really know at this point. So he's a guy to have a look at in a tournament situation. Dirk at 67. Yeah, not a bad price. I don't hate that, but I probably would be avoiding Dirk in that situation. And Darren Williams at 6,400. I'll leave that one alone as well. The San Antonio Spurs and the Philadelphia 76ers. This is probably one of the biggest stayaways from the Spurs in my opinion. They're favored by 17. The total is 196.5. Kawhi Leonard is questionable with an illness. The illness is that he's playing the Sixers. He doesn't want to be sickened by watching them play. And Manu Ginobili has an adductor strain, so he's questionable as well. So the Spurs could just limit them. Duncan could play 15 minutes here. Aldridge could play 20. Leonard might sit. Let's avoid most of the Spurs guys. I reckon they'll give Danny Green fair run, though, to try and play him into a bit of form. So at 4,200, he's not a bad guy. And I don't hate Tony Parker at 4,800, but the other guys, not all that keen on. The Sixers players, I don't think there's any real value from these guys. TJ McConnell's priced up to 5,000. Don't love that. Nick Stauskas at 43 is an okay tournament guy to have a look at, but if he's going to go off, is he really going to do it against the Spurs? I don't love that situation. Christian Wood is a flyer at 3,500. If you played him in a tournament at 3,500, you would have been wrapped with what he gave you today. And there is another somewhat similar opportunity for him to do that again. So he's someone to not discount completely. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Milwaukee Bucks up next. The Cavs are favored by 5.5. They've got a total of 196, which is obviously not ideal. We should see the return of Michael Carter-Williams in this game, though. So that eliminates a lot of Jared Bayless's value. He was almost a must-play guy. Tyler Ennis goes down to zero as well, but I'm not using Bayless or Carter Williams in this situation. I do like Kevin Love, who was a little bit disappointing against the Knicks today. He should bounce back at 8,000. I think he's worth a look. And LeBron at 10,200 is been fairly consistent this season, but he's still priced at 10,000. You want him to drop a 50 or a 55, which he definitely has the ability to do. Mo Williams at 6,100. Don't really love it against the Jason Kidd sort of defensive scheme. It's not really for me. And most of the other players in this game, I think we can pretty much leave alone. Greg Munro at 8,200. It's too expensive for a guy that's averaging 34 over his last five games. You need him to be doing more than that at that sort of 8,000 plus price tag. Denver and Phoenix. Phoenix is favored by 8. We do need to check the status of Markieff Morris in this game, who's got an issue with a knee sprain. Ronnie Price will likely be out with a concussion, and Joffrey Lavernier, he's been questionable for every game basically the last week or so with that back for Denver. Phoenix is favored by 8, as I mentioned. There's a total of 209.5, so there's definitely value here. If Morris was to play and be fine, he would be great, but I just can't put faith in that at this point. But I do love Brandon Knight. I do love Eric Bledsoe here. I think they're both tremendous value. 7,000 for Knight and 85 for Eric Bledsoe. Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,000. Against the Suns, the high pace, not a bad situation for him to have a decent game. Will Barton at 47 has he was good in the last game, obviously. He's putting up some decent numbers. He's an okay guy for a tournament. And Danilo Gallinari was red hot today, but at 6,500, I don't really think I want to invest too highly in him. And same with Kenneth Faried at 7,000. I don't think he is the greatest option for me. Tyson Chandler at 5,600, probably a bit of a contrarian play. I don't think that many people would be looking at him. He was really disappointing in the last game, but he could easily bounce back. The last game of the night, there is no spread for it yet. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets. This could be an absolute massacre. Steph Curry might be able to drop 50 in 10 minutes in this game. It's probably an exaggeration, but you know what he's able to do. What I look for is Sean Livingston here against a team as bad as the Nets at 3,500 in a tournament, in a GPP situation. Maybe he gets to play 23 minutes and take on a bigger role in a blowout situation. So there's a bit of value there. Klay Thompson eventually has got to start playing well, you would hope. At 6,500, the price is okay. I don't want to risk it in a cash game situation, though. And I do like Andre Iguodala as well, just for that solid cash game 4,700 value. He's averaging 23. Over the last five, 22 for the season. That's sort of where you're going to get it, from that 20 to 22. And at 47, that's plenty. That's plenty enough for me. I think there's definitely a value there for him. So as I said, Steph's up to 11,000, but he has been so awesome. It is really hard to go past him. And Draymond Green's starting to turn it on as well. But he's at $8,000. So do you think he's going to get 40 points? Maybe. I'll probably steer clear of him. Thad Young and Brook Lopez, they're not for me either. And Jarrett Jack, going up against Steph, well, if anything's going to ruin someone's confidence, it's going up against Steph Curry. So as good as he was, dropping the 41 points today, it's hard to go and recommend Jarrett Jack. I'll leave it at that. All right, that's all the games done. What I'll do now is just quickly run through my picks for the day. At point guard, Ray Felton at 3,500. That's assuming Chandler Parsons is out. Brandon Knight at 7,000 and John Wall at 9,200. For shooting guards, Danny Green at 4,200. Evan Fournier at 5,600 and James Harden at 10,000. Small forwards, couple of Pistons in there. Stanley Johnson at 4,000 and Marcus Morris at 6,100. While Kawhi Leonard, assuming he plays at 84, still has decent value. Not all that confident in putting him there, though. But if he was going to play minutes, he's going to return the best value for that money. But I'm a little bit concerned. At power forward, Chris Humphries at 4,000, Terrence Jones at 5,400 and Kevin Love at 8,000. While the centers are Clint Capella at 4,600, Zaza Pachulia at 55, and Andre Drummond at 9,700. That's it for today's show, guys. Don't forget, leave a review, leave a ranking on iTunes and help the show out. It's always much appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball and also follow the Basketball Monster account, which is on Twitter at Bask, B-A-S-K, Monster, and myself and Kyle and Ken get on there and tweet out all the news that happens all throughout the day. So make sure you're following that account as well. That's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening. In fact, see ya.